Father, on this Christmas Eve, we just ask that you would give us eyes to see who Jesus really is. Lord, that you would help us to see Jesus as our deliverer, as our Savior, as God with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas break and movies go together like popcorn and butter. The other day I was watching BBC News, and this special came up, and they were like going to interview someone. They were going to have this whole 10-minute segment on what's the biggest Christmas movie in Britain this year, the one that everyone's streaming. And I had to bring an expert in to tell them what the biggest movie that was streaming is, like, you know, any movie. So what movie do you think it is? Shout one out. I already heard it. Home Alone. Correct. Home Alone, biggest streaming movie in Britain in 2025. So I was like, well, I got to find out what's the most biggest streaming movie in Canada. So I went to a reliable source, the internet. And it told me it's not Home Alone, but in Canada, Elf is the most streaming movie here. So Elf with Will Ferrell. We're all going to pull probably one or two Christmas classics over the break. Maybe it'll be Santa Claus, maybe it's A Wonderful Life or something like that. But I don't think any of us here are going to pull from the horror genre of movies for Christmas Day. I mean, I can't really stand horror movies. However, movies that touch on our greatest fears actually have more in common with Christmas than Buddy the Elf does. In the Old Testament, Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, he said this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." So during a time of darkness, a time of distress, of stomach churning foreboding, God reveals something to Isaiah, that there is light coming to break through the fear. Real light. So Christmas is a message that delivers us from everything that terrorizes us. Christmas is a message that delivers us from everything that terrorizes us. Christmas is for people who are racked by horror, by mind-numbing confusion, by deep distress. Now, we may not be facing a physical threat here this afternoon in your life, but we all know the darkness of perhaps wondering about the meaning of our life and why we're here. We know bereavement. We know fear of the future. We know bone-chilling loneliness. We know anxiety. We know dark thoughts. Some of us here even know depression. We feel trapped by our sins. So I'm not advocating this afternoon that you go out and watch a horror movie this Christmas, but I am saying this. If we consider our greatest causes of panic and of fear, we are actually one step closer to understanding the real message of Christmas. The Christmas story is a message of how we can be delivered from everything that terrorizes us. So how? How does that work? How does Christmas deliver us from our fears? So Pastor Jared, and he just read an account from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is an interesting perspective on the birth of Jesus, on the first Christmas, because here we get Joseph's perspective on all the events that happened around the first Christmas. And when we look at Joseph's experience of Christmas, we see that it actually blows up our cultural understanding of what we think Christmas is, typically in Canada. In Canada, we often think of Christmas as something that's sentimental, right? We bake cookies, we sing songs, we have family traditions that we do. None of that's wrong. But the first Christmas was far more than sentimental. The first Christmas, actually threatened to break a family apart before it had even started. So think about Joseph's experience. He has found this nice young woman. They're engaged to be married. Her name is Mary. And all of a sudden, he finds out that she's pregnant and he's not the father. That's the first Christmas. Imagine that around your first Christmas if you're an engaged couple. He was in deep distress and he didn't know what to do. Actually, in the first century, in Joseph's day, engagement was actually legally binding. So he couldn't just say, I want the ring back. He actually had to divorce Mary to call this off. And so he mulled this decision over and he came to the point where he said, you know what, I'm going to quietly divorce Mary. But then something happened and we read it. Joseph was, he was visited by an angel from God, and the angel told him this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So the angel's message to Joseph is actually simple and profound. And it's this. The baby that Mary's carrying is of God. And now Joseph is left with a decision. He has to decide, is this child of God or is it from someone else? He had to decide, and so do we. We also have to decide about this baby that Mary had. Christmas forces us into a decision. So this afternoon, maybe you are unsure about who Jesus is. I want to encourage you to do something. I want you to encourage you to explore the claims of Jesus on Jesus' own terms, not on TikTok terms, okay? Like, don't go to your phone and see what someone else is saying about who Jesus is. Go read what Jesus actually says about himself. And you can do that by reading the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, or Luke, or John. And I want to let you know that we have free Bibles available at the Welcome Desk in the foyer that you're welcome to pick up. There's other resources there as well. If that's something that you feel like, I need to explore this for myself and figure out for myself, who is this child that Mary had? And it's important to figure this out because Christians believe the answer to all of our blood-curdling fears come from a baby. That should make us pause. Like, how does God deliver us from our fears through a baby? Through a baby. So the angel tells Joseph more information, verse 21 of Matthew 1. And the angel says this, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the name Jesus means God saves. An angel told Joseph to call this child Jesus because Jesus was the one that would come and save his people from their sins. So when we talk about Christmas, this isn't sentiment. We're talking, there's actually sin as part of the story of Christmas. And sin is not just a few mistakes that we make. Sin's not just like, oh, I got a speeding ticket the other day. I didn't, but like, you know, let's say you did. I got a speeding ticket the other day. Oh, well, I'll do better next time. That's not what we're talking about sin. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is then the cause of all of our troubles, all of our woes in our world. Sickness, loneliness, envy, jealousy, war. And then what's more, the Bible clearly tells us that all of us are sinners. We're all born into this condition. And all of us then are deserving of eternal judgment. And Christianity says the only answer is this. Jesus saves. That's the only answer. Jesus saves. And when Christians say that, what they're saying is we believe that Jesus alone, no other name, no other power can save us from our sin and give us eternal life with God. He's the only way. Interesting, I found a study this week from the University of Southern California, their Center for Religion and Civic Culture. They did a little study, and they noted the dominant religious trend of 2025. And the dominant religious trend of 2025 was this. You can summarize it in these words. We save us. We save us. Now, we don't have to think very hard to realize that that can't be true. I mean, why is loneliness so rampant in our nation? Why can't politicians figure out how to bring peace to all the world conflicts and wars that we see going on today? Why can't we be happy? Why can't we be content in this age where we have so much stuff, so much technology that's supposed to make our life easier? We really have no power to save ourselves. So the arrival of Jesus is an announcement that real salvation has come to us, has come down to us. Now, what's really surprising about Matthew's account here is we've been told that this baby's name is going to be Jesus, but we're also told something else. We're told another name. And here's what it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this verse should really make us stop and say, whoa, like, hold on, what's going on here? Because I thought the angel just said his name is Jesus. And now it's saying he will be called Emmanuel? What Matthew wants us to see as he's recording his gospel is this. You can't understand this baby unless you see both of these names, Savior and Emmanuel. Jesus saving us and God being with us are like two sides of the same coin revealed to us in Christ. And the implications of that are mind-blowing for our lives. So what I want to do is just share with you two brief implications of what it means that Jesus is both Savior and Emmanuel for us. First, what we can see here is that it's telling us something that we can find great hope in. God sees us. God sees you. God sees you. Now think about this. Some of you are going to take your kids out, go skating over Christmas break, or maybe you're going to go tobogganing, and you're either going to be, you know, grandparent or a parent. You're out there in the cold, freezing, having fun though. And your kid's going to run over to you, and they're going to say, Dad, Dad, Mom, watch this. Watch this. I'm going to do this really great trick on the ice. Or I'm going to do this really cool slide down the hill. You got to watch. Are you watching? You say, yes, I'm watching you. That's what they want, right? Your child wants your gaze upon them as a parent. And this is what we see here. When Jesus is both Savior and Emmanuel, what is it saying to us? God sees you. God sees us. Now think about how that's good news for you. Think about what it might mean if you receive a phone call that's the phone call of your greatest fears. When you get that phone call, it means that Jesus, our Savior, is with you. Right there in that moment. He sees you. He's with you. And he's the Savior. Now, there's more that we can see implications when we start thinking about these two names together. Second one is this. God, when he forgives, he doesn't forgive us from a distance. So we might all be okay with thinking, yeah, that's God's job. His job is to forgive sin. That's what God does. That's his job. But he does it kind of squeamishly. So he forgives sin, but it's kind of like maybe if you don't like touching frogs, he's just like, ugh, okay, forgiven. And then step over here. When we see Jesus and Emmanuel, what is it saying? God is happy to come into the mess of our lives. He is happy to be there, and he wants to be there, and he wants to bring his forgiveness. How does that help us? So many ways. One of the ways it helps us is a lot of us will have reruns of our lives, our past lives, things that we've done. Maybe we've done things that we're ashamed of. We have regrets. Jesus' forgiveness doesn't disappear like melting snow. He doesn't say, okay, I'll forgive you, and then you go sit on the other side of the room. I'll be over here, but you need to be over there. No, Jesus is God with us. He wants to be right there beside us. In fact, Jesus said later in the book of Matthew, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, Jesus is God with us. And he's saying, I'm here. Will you come? I'm right here. I want to be right beside you. Will you come to me? And he's saying, you can come with all of your fears. We can bring all of our baggage. We can come with our panicked anxiety. We can come with our sinful failures. Because there's no level of darkness that will frighten Jesus from saving us. And why do we know that? Because just a few years later in his life, Jesus endured real horror when he went to the cross. And on the cross, he did his ultimate saving work. He bore our sins in our place so that we might not have to face that horror of sin and death, but be able to enjoy life with God. And Jesus proved that darkness doesn't win, because after he died on the cross 3 days later, he rose again. So Christmas is about delivering us from the terrors, the ultimate terrors of sin and of death. It tells us we don't need to fight our demons on our own anymore. We only need one thing, Jesus. He is the Savior. He is God with us. We can't save us, but he is happy to come and save us. So this Christmas, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Confess your sin and look to Jesus. And this Christmas, rejoice that the baby in the manger is Jesus, our Emmanuel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the amazing gift of Jesus, being our Savior, being God with us. Lord, would you renew our joy in who Jesus is? Would you help us to draw near to you, to come to you, because you have come to us? Lord, I pray that you'd be with each person here as they go and celebrate with family for the rest of this evening, that you would watch over them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.